You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hello, Cosmic Pizza Podcast, the show of all sorts that sorts all by serving up a slice of life. What is your order, please? I see. The special it is. Be there to deliver ASAP. Cosmic Pizza Podcast, special delivery. Hello and welcome to your special delivery of the Cosmic Pizza Podcast. I'm Paul from the UK and with me today is...
Dan in the UK.
Casey in the UK.
And Sean, not in the UK.
Yet.
Yes, someday.
So yes, hello and welcome to the show. This week we are going to do an episode based on the British TV series Room 101. Lasted for quite a few series. The idea is Room 101 is obviously based on George Orwell's 1984 book, in which Room 101 was where somebody was thrown in and had their worst things thrown in with them, which I think was rats at the time, from memory. So the TV series basically took that idea and said, right, what would you like to throw into Room 101? And it would stay in there forever. It would never come back out again. You know, the whole world will miss this thing. So what would you like to put in there that it really irks you, that really annoys you? To Room 101, where the four of us get to condemn our deepest dislikes to the dreaded room. So, who wants to go first? I'll go first then. So my first item, I think we mentioned it on the last episode, and I've mentioned it on social media as well, is umbrellas. Now, everybody's sitting there thinking, yeah, but they keep water off your head, and they keep you dry, and they can stop the sun from coming through acting as a parasol. And no, they bloody well can't. First thing an umbrella does is it diverts water away from your head and onto your shoulders or down your back, or normally all over your partner who's trying to stand next to you. But of course, you can't get two people under an umbrella, so one of you is going to get very, very wet. Rain always comes with wind. What is an umbrella? It's a wind collector. It just takes the wind. The wind just takes the umbrella and it's all over the place. Now you're fighting with this thing. It turns itself inside out. It breaks all the spokes. If you're walking along the street and somebody's coming towards you with an umbrella, they never move out the way. And what is on the edge of the umbrella? It's like something out of James Bond. It's a weapon. They've got these spikes on the end of them that it can take people's eye out. And where are they? They're at eye level because people carry them and have them so that they're over their head and the spikes are at the same level as everybody else's eyes. Then it stops raining. Now you're walking around with a great big heavy wet walking stick. You take it into, you get to somebody's house. Oh, it's been raining out there. It's fabulous. Can I put this umbrella somewhere? Two things happen. One, they either shove it in the corner of the room where the water just drips off and soaks the carpet, or they take it into your kitchen where you might have a hard floor and open it up so it can dry off and then there's a pool of water on the floor. They're just useless wastes of time, dangerous. There's no use for them whatsoever. You take one with you because it might rain and it won't, and then you're walking around with it and become very British with walking with this umbrella around, looking like some guy out of, you know, working downtown in London or something. It's just no umbrellas. Get them in there. If you're going out and it's raining, put a coat on with a hood or a hat or something like that. Umbrellas, go away.
You're not a fan, is what I understand.
No.
Yeah, that's it. Are we talking the small ones, or are we talking like the big golf umbrellas as well? Well, so even every umbrella.
Every umbrella, because even the big golf umbrellas, people believe you can get two people underneath, or you know, or maybe it's good for one person because it, you know, the rain will fall away and go down to the sides. But now it's even an even bigger wind catcher. You end up like Mary Poppins.
Yeah, you always leave them places as well. You go to a restaurant, you go to your friend's house, you leave your umbrella, then you need to buy another umbrella. And also, if somebody is taking it into their kitchen to open it up, I mean, who knows what could happen? That comes with some, you know, some bad luck as well. So you just want everyone walking around with those funny little umbrella hats.
Again, you see, there's no point in them because it just pours water all over your shoulders. Keeps your head dry, but your feet get wet. That's the other thing, is that the rain's bouncing off the floor. Your feet are getting soaked, but you've got a perfectly dry head. Three blind people walking by the side of you.
If we put something into 101, it disappears forever, which means it gets rid of the joy of watching people struggling with those brollies on like very windy bridges and things like that. There's a beauty to that. Like you just see them one after the other, like a tandem all going through. It's wonderful.
And what about the song Umbrella by Rihanna? That has to go too.
That's very true.
And that's pretty
catchy,
Paul.
The lyrics say, you can come under my umbrella. And according to Paul, that's quite true.
There's no room. Then both of you get one wet shoulder. I mean, it's just wrong. It's just wrong.
Just look at my umbrella.
Yes, throwing the umbrella away is what we're doing. So, anybody else? Next.
Clothing tags. Let's get rid of clothing tags.
Now, do you mean the what do you mean by tags? Do you mean the electronic things, or do you mean the little tab things that are in your clothes?
The little fabric things, you know, where they're on the side of the shirt or on the neck of the shirt. They're scratching at you. They're picky and they're pokey. They're in the shoes. And if you're wearing sandals, they're in there and they scratch up your feet. They're not good. I hate them. Let's get rid of clothing tags.
Yeah.
Oh,
this is the 21st century. Surely you can just print something in the shirt that tells you like how you're supposed to wash it, what size it is, and enough space to write your kid's name, because let's not forget, you need to be writing your kids' names in it, especially when they go to school and they're all wearing the same uniform.
They still come back with somebody else's. The only beauty of that is you know whose it is when you go take it back.
That's true.
But then
your
yours has disappeared.
Your child's absolutely adamant that it is my raincoat. It is my raincoat.
And they've swapped it for somebody else's because it's a cooler coat. Yeah, but theirs was blue and yours was green. Come on.
I do agree with clothing tags. I think that's an excellent Room 101 choice.
Definitely. Mm. Yeah, because especially on T-shirts or the things that are close to your skin.
The worst.
Yeah, and the ones they're always on the neck. And they always stick up. They always stick them out. Yeah.
Right. And then if you cut them off, there's still that little piece. Yeah. And that's even worse.
Exactly.
Mm, very true. It would save me a lot of time. So much of my time is just scissoring those things off, getting it every time. Because, you know, my little one just doesn't want them, all that sort of stuff.
I don't know what it's like for men, but women's, and maybe you know about this, you know, I don't want to ask you too many personal questions, but women's underwear as well, the tags are right at the part. You just get like the top of your butt crack just scratched with the tag in your underwear. So again, like just for comfort's sake, let's get rid of them.
Yeah,
it's
that's
unanimous.
Right. And it is unanimous. It's either one of two things. It either scratches you or tickles you. Whichever way it is, it's just get it off.
Yeah, it's not good.
No.
And the thing is, like modern like washing machines and things like that, we don't need the washing instructions anymore. Like if it's got that kind of weird printing thing, don't put it on a hot wash, otherwise that's going to get completely destroyed. Don't put it in a tumble dryer because it, again, gets destroyed. Anything else, just bung it in. As long as it's a nice standard wash, you're all right.
Yep.
Absolutely.
So, that's it. So definitely those ones as well. So do we all agree on the umbrellas as well? So how many things are we logging? How many things are going to be?
Yeah, so go on. So, okay, let's do a vote then. So just so the listeners can get the true experience, hands up those who don't want to put umbrellas into Room 101. Just me.
You were so passionate. I'm worried what would happen if I disagreed with you, Paul. So I'm just going to say, you know, they can go in.
I don't have strong feelings either way. I know I don't use them. So, but yeah, because you're my pal. Okay, I'll vote for it too.
No, I'm with you on this one. I get a better coat. You don't need an umbrella. That's fine.
Excellent. Good-o. So yeah, so that's umbrellas and clothing tags have gone into room 101.
Yay.
So who's next?
I'll go next. This is something that's like been a bane in my life for as long as I can remember. And it's only something minor, but everybody has that like nails on the chalkboard thing that makes their skin crawl, give you like the heebie-jeebies. And mine is velvet. Oh gosh, it just makes my skin. I even just looking at, like thinking about it now and looking at velvet, I have like this visceral reaction. And I almost got into a fight with a friend at uni who was wearing a velvet dress and thought it would be really funny to keep trying to touch me and hug me. And we really did have a falling out that night because I was really serious that I didn't find it funny. So I would happily never see, touch velvet again. If I go to a friend's house and they have a velvet couch, nope. If I get given any gifts that are like, my friend bought me this beautiful, it was like a beautifully embroidered small purse for my birthday, and it was made of velvet. And I was just like, it's so beautiful, but I can't even touch it. And sometimes the kids' clothes are made of velvet. Sometimes they have patterns on that have like a velvety texture. I just don't ever want to have anything to do with velvet.
I can remember when I was at school, for whatever play it was, we were in a school play, you know, only when we were in primary school, so you know, sort of aged 7, 8, 9, 10, somewhere around there. And my mum made, it was the Seven Dwarfs. Guess who got to play at one of the Seven Dwarfs? Me being small. So my mum made me a waistcoat, and I can't remember what, I'm probably wearing my school trousers, but I had a waistcoat and a hat and that. To make me look like a miner, because I was obviously supposed to be a dwarf working down the mines. And the waistcoat she made was made out of velvet. And every time I see something velvet cushions or you know, velvet sofas or whatever, there's always a strange smell. The velvet has a strange clothy, musty sort of smell, which I never really got on with. So yeah, I'm with you on velvet. I can see why, you know, I mean, and it does have it's a very tactile thing. It will be smooth one way and then it'll go, and when you pull back the other way, it feels weird. Yeah.
It's like and a then cat's tongue.
I wouldn't describe a cat's tongue as velvety, but yeah.
One way, and then it's really, I just don't.
You're going to have to stroke our cat's tongue later to find out what it's like. Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Velvet, no.
I don't think I have enough familiarity with it to say either way.
I'm just sort of looking around the room. I feel like there should be some velvet in here, but I don't think there is. All the Disney stuff in here, it's all kind of like a weird... No, I don't think there is any velvet. But a long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, I had a girlfriend who had this velvet dress. And as soon as it started raining, we didn't have an umbrella because they don't exist anymore. And that was it. It went straight. No, she never used an umbrella. She never took anything with her. And she just got soaked. And it just got heavy. It just got so full of the water. I felt like you had to wring her out just to sort of get her into like the club afterwards. So I'm completely with you. Like, it was like hugging a wet rag at the end of the day. We don't get any on anymore, so it's all right. She doesn't matter. She'd not listen to this. But yeah, it was just horrible. And yeah, I'm 100%. If I don't have to go through that in the rest of my life, let's get rid of it.
Hey.
Excellent. Yes, I'm so thankful. Cheers, guys.
We feel your pain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Dan, yes.
Yeah. Well, this one I literally just thought of just this second. When
your
you
old
send...
girlfriend. No, we
yeah.
she can't do
yeah,
people.
It's the old girlfriend. Yeah, sorry, she's already got no that's wrong. When you send a really long message with at least two or three questions in it to somebody, maybe a family member, something like that, and all you get is a thumbs up. There's no answer. There's no like, oh, I'll get back to you, or like, oh, some interesting questions. That's food for thought. Nothing. They haven't read it. They just went thumbs up. What's that supposed to mean? Like, I need to know right now. I'm booking tickets for whatever, or we're doing this, or we need to know whether we're going to take time off of work so we can go and hang out with each other. There are specific people who do this to me all the time, and it winds me up. So yes, a long, complicated message that is replied with a thumbs up. Do not like it.
We had one of those at work a couple of days ago, where we asked a customer if we could change something slightly so that it would make it easier for us to work with the product that they were giving us. And we gave our reasons, and we outlined why we couldn't do what we want, or why we were trying to change. We were trying to widen a specification so we could make something a little bit easier for us to do with the machines that we have. And there was about three or four questions, and it was, can we add these numbers instead of the numbers that you've given us? Because we can't do this, we can't do that, we can't do that. And that came back, and then after that, there was another question about the code that we might put onto this product. And the answer that came back was, okay, thanks.
Nice.
So what you're thanking us, but we're asking you a question and you're thanking us for making things easier for us. That you've not read it, or you've just said yes, okay would have been fine, because we could have said, well, that applies to both questions then. But it wasn't even that. It was, okay, thanks. Thanks for telling me you're going to do that. Okay, well, we are sort of telling you, but we are giving you reasons why we can't do it. But yeah, I hate it.
That you get when you're like, if I was annoyed at somebody, I'd send them a thumbs up, you know? You're like,
yes. Oh,
this
lol.
Is my passive aggressive response because I'm not speaking to you in full sentences. Oh, here's one emoji.
And you're lucky you're even getting that.
Yes.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Because what I thought you were going to say, Dan, was, you know, you ask lots of questions, you know, maybe three or four questions in a long message, and you get the answer to the last one.
He does that. Oh, he does it every time. And then he says I do it, but he definitely does it.
Because I do that with my son. I sent him a message, asked him a question, and then 5 minutes later he hadn't answered. So I asked him another question related to something else, and he answered the last one. He hadn't even bothered going back to see if I'd asked another question. So, and it was there on the message screen, you know, you can quite easily see it. So I had to ask him again. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, so that's my thing. Yeah, people who don't get back to you with the right answers.
So yeah, so we all agree on that then? Are we all giving that a thumbs
up?
I do agree.
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay. So
we've all got something. That's good.
Yes, that's right. We've all got something in there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so I will... go on to I'm going to call it my number two, because as far as I'm concerned, it tastes like it. Now, this is going to make Sean giggle. Mashed potatoes. I cannot get
my dad's
on.
Favorite.
And I ate your dad's favorite mashed potatoes, and I liked them, and I got on with them. And because I was being very British and being very polite, I knew I was going to get mashed potatoes, so I was prepared for it. So being at school back in the 70s, we had what I would loosely describe as mashed potatoes. It was obviously a powdered mash. They just made it all, or either that, or they just had some, you know, big, strong women there with, you know, bashing away with a potato masher on these potatoes and giving up halfway and then just going, oh, you can have that lumpy crap. So we would get it. It'd be dry. It was just pulverized potatoes. There was no butter or milk in it or anything like that. It was just pulverized potatoes. It was so dry. So when I ate it, it made me gag. And I just could not eat it. I'm trying not to throw up. So I'd always give it to somebody else. And, you know, I'd maybe swap it for something on whatever we had on our plates at the time. And that's followed me through life. I make mashed potatoes for my wife, and she says I make decent mashed potatoes, probably because I'm trying to really make them you know, fluffy and not dry, adding milk, putting butter in, or use low-fat spread. But it's the same idea. It makes it a bit more moist. But I can't eat it and I can't taste it because it physically, I just get that reaction. It could be psychosomatic. It could be anything.
You're traumatized.
I am traumatized. It was a horrible, horrible stuff. However, when we went to Sean's and we went very nicely invited around to his dad's for a meal, and I could see that he was making mashed potatoes, and I thought, no, I'm going to eat the mashed potatoes. I can't go to somebody's house and refuse their food. That is bloody rude. So, and you don't, you know, when somebody offers you some food that they have prepared, they have made, they have bought or grown, you can't turn it down. That's it. Food is not a luxury; it's a necessity. So that's just my the way I feel about food. One of the biggest things that I like is being invited around to somebody's house and having a meal with them, because I think that's socially it's a good thing, but also it's a nice way of showing how much you care, that you're prepared to show, you know, share some of your food with somebody. So when we got to Sean's, I saw it being made, and there was like half a pound of butter going in there. There was a gallon of milk. You know, it was made with an electric whisk. And I thought, this is going places. This looks as though I could drink it with a straw. So of course he put it on the table. My wife said, "Do you want some?" She was giggling away. "Do you want some mashed potatoes?" I went, "Yeah, put it on the plate." She said, "Oh, okay then." And so she put this small amount on. I said, no, put more on." So she puts more on. I get the gravy and I drown it in the gravy. And I must admit, Canadian gravy is really pretty nice. So, because it's a different, obviously a different flavor to what we have over here. And it was nice. It was good. And I didn't gag on it because there was a lot more, it was very moist. So it wasn't the dry powdery crap that I was used to from back in the day at school or whatever I make, you know, or whatever the wife calls potatoes. So yeah. So, but as far as I can say, mashed potatoes can go into room 101 and get out my life. I'm well aware that America, yes, everybody in America is going, no.
Yeah, that's got to be the first controversial answer, because I absolutely bloody love mashed potato. I think when I need like hearty belly food, it's like sausage, mash, gravy, peas, mash, pie, gravy, mash. Actually, when I was pregnant and I had hyperemesis, which is like a form of extreme morning sickness where you're basically just sick all day, every day for your entire pregnancy. It's horrific. One of the only things that I could actually eat stomach was mashed potato and gravy.
Oh, wow.
So I can't agree with you there, Paul. I just love mashed potato. I'd eat it every day if I could.
I really wish I did like it, because like you say, every time you go out to a restaurant somewhere and it's pie and mash, sausage and mash, steak and mash. Where's the fries gone? Where are the chips gone? You know, in the good old days, you couldn't swap things around like that. You got what you were given. You know, go to a restaurant, pie and mash. Now that's it, mate. It's pie and mash. So I couldn't have it. And the only chips or fries you got was you know, a battered fish or something. Now you can go in and you can say, no, can I hold the mash and put some fries on it, and you can mix and match a bit more, so it's a bit easier. But it's mash with every sodding thing.
Yeah, give me a different type of potato.
Yeah. In fact, I don't really do potatoes. I can't. It's the whole potato thing. I can just about get away with a baked potato, just about. But they have to be the right potatoes, where you can put a lot of butter into it and get them really sort of mushy like that. But the skin, you know, with the skin on it and everything, that's really nice. But
roasties.
I can do roasties, but they have to be crunchy.
Yeah, salty, but crunchy chips. And fluffy on the inside. Mm. Oh, salty chips. Mm. Salty chips with the skins on as well, when you bake them and they got the skins and they're all nice and sort of salty and stuff. Oh.
Yeah.
But good, where do you stand on having the mash in sort of like a shepherd's pie and stuff?
Oh, no.
Comes with something.
No.
No?
No, you see, now that could be a good idea if I just mixed it all into one big lump and do that.
Yeah.
And the thing is, my wife does, I make shepherd's pie, cottage pie for my wife, and she makes it as well. And I don't know why we don't just say, look, scoop a bit out, leave it to one side, and I will have that. I will have the meat and the potatoes, and sorry, the meat and the carrots, the peas, or whatever you want to put into your cottage pie. I'll have that. I'll just have it with something else. Yes, we should do that. But having said that, what we tend to do is batch cook. So we'll make a nice big one, chop it into four, and then freeze three of them, and then my wife will have one And then she can have that while I have fish. She doesn't like fish. Mashed potato not going in then. Everybody likes mashed potato bar me.
Half of it.
Yeah. Like, if you can sandwich it with something else, like, you know, there's ways out. You can get out of it. It's not going to be on its own. It's not like someone's going to come and plate up a bowl full of mash in front of you and force you to eat it anymore. Like, those days are over. They're safe. You know, school has happened. It's no longer going to happen ever again. But if it is fluffy, if it is milky, if it's buttery, you can stand it. You can.
Yes. I think Sean's dad was
covered in dad's gravy. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. That's the only way it could be eaten.
Okay, so it can be eaten.
Yeah.
I want to try some of this mash. I want to try some of this mash.
Sean, you're going to have to come over and visit my dad.
Can you not put it in a pot and send it over, like a special delivery? Deliveroo? Do they go that far?
Maybe, you never know.
One day.
Excellent.
No, I can't go with you on this journey, I'm afraid, Paul. Sorry.
Okay, it's not going in there, is it? Damn. Sean, what's your second item?
Let's go with plastic packaging.
Ooh.
There's nothing worse than that clamshell packaging where you're cutting yourself, or you finally get your action figure out of the wrapper, and then they've got the little plastic twist ties around the guts, you know, or in the hands. Like, plastic packaging of any kind. It's the worst. You're trying to get your straw out of the plastic packaging on the side of your drink box. You know, all that stuff.
Yes.
It's a waste of plastic and it's a pain in the ass.
Yeah. It makes Christmas morning with children who want to play with things very, very quickly very difficult. Do it faster. Get it out of the box. And also, when you buy a packet of scissors, you can't get into your packet of scissors because you don't have any.
That's right.
So true.
Covered in plastic, especially with that crimped stuff around the edges there. That's the worst.
What
and environmentally as well. I mean, I thought that's where you were going to go with that, Sean.
That's part of it.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's a huge part of it. I mean, working in a glass factory, we obviously are not proponents of plastic at all, and we are trying to reduce the amount of plastic people use, putting bottles into cardboard cartons rather than shrink wrapping, you know, into a little tray or something, that type of thing. So there is a lot of anti-plastic in our factory. What I really hate is when you buy some bacon, let's say, and it's in that it's a solid plastic tray but with a light plastic top, and they give you a little cutout at the corner so that you can get hold of it and peel it. And no matter how hard you try, you cannot unpeel it. No, it never works.
Never.
And you either end up going, pulling it so hard the bacon's on the floor, or the end just comes off. And now you've got this, and of course you've taken it out the fridge, so it's slightly moist anyway. So you're slipping all over the place with it, trying to get hold of it. So you end up, you get a knife and you just stab the thing, and it just doesn't work.
And then you wrap it in cling film, which is more plastic. Because you can't close the lid again.
Yeah, but we use resealable, what you used to call Tupperware boxes, you know, the little plastic boxes for that sort of thing. We open cheese and we put it into the plastic boxes. Now, they've been used multiple times over many years, so it's not a single-use type of thing. They're sort of the plastic bits I don't mind, because you can also use them for paint pots and all sorts of things, you know, anything, rain collectors, whatever you want to do with them. So plastic packaging on food is a nightmare.
Yeah, and things like bananas that are already naturally wrapped.
yes, put them in cucumbers. Why the hell do you put a cling film around a cucumber? For goodness sake, a cucumber won't last 5 minutes in our house. You don't need to wrap it up in a bit of cling film. And then you've got to try and peel that off. You can never peel it off. It's like, I won't go that far, but it's like trying to peel something off something that is long and thin and it doesn't come off properly. So waste of time. Yeah, I think you've definitely got that one in there, Sean.
Yeah.
Well, thanks. That was a great endorsement from you guys.
And another great endorsement
is this promo
for another podcast right here on
ESO Network.
There you go.
Collaboration.
Noise.
Good afternoon.
May we be of assistance, sir?
Yes, I'm looking for a podcast for someone who likes that 1960s headache music.
Don't these podcasters have atrocious taste?
Sir, may I recommend this podcast by Monkeying Around? I guarantee a migraine.
I never heard of Monkeying Around.
You never heard of Monkeying Around? He's never heard of Monkeying Around.
What does Monkeying Around sound like? I'll take it.
He took it?
He took it.
Monkeying Around, a podcast about the monkeys.
Okay, my next one is, it's tough because I don't know how it's going to impact the world and like ecosystems locally and internationally. So I don't really want to get into the semantics of it, but I would just like to put mosquitoes and gnats in room 101 and just have them be done with. Any blood-sucking animal, like, freaks me out. Leeches. I just don't think I'm going to come across leeches that much in my life. Gnats in this country are horrible when you travel. Mosquitoes are horrendous in countries that have them, not to mention the viruses that they spread and the issues they cause in third world countries. I'm happy for mosquitoes to just be gone.
Well, actually, when you guys first gave me this assignment for room 101, which I'd never heard of, mosquitoes was the first thing I thought of, so I'm 100% with you.
Yeah. I mean, somebody might get in touch with us and say, you do know that mosquitoes are very important to keeping the ecosystems in balance. And I'm sure that that's true. But at the same time, like, without thinking too much into it, they can just go.
I mean, I'm totally with you. I mean, the gnats are, back in the 70s, we never had mosquitoes. It was all gnats. And then more recently, because then everybody started saying, oh, mosquitoes are killers and, you know, they can spread diseases. And in Africa, there's millions of them, billions of them, trillions of them. And then suddenly everybody started calling gnats mosquitoes. I was like, no, you're just overdoing it now. It's the gnats. Gnats, fruit flies are a type of gnat. So, and they're a pain because you're trying to unwrap your banana in the plastic packaging. And in the meantime, there's a fruit fly hovering around, wanted to have a nibble on it. So, yeah, and then they're everywhere in the house before you know it. Yeah, but certainly,
they are. Yeah. You're trying to sleep and all you can hear is...
yeah.
flying around and you know that it's going to be landing on you, but it's too hot under the covers and you're like, do I risk putting one leg out? Do I risk one arm out? What do I do with this?
Yeah,
you can't, hanging around.
Yeah, you can't see it, but I've got a bite on my elbow there. I don't get bitten. I mean, my wife is always the one that gets bitten. You know, every morning, oh, I've got another bite. There's fleas in this thing. There's mosquitoes about. No, there isn't. It's just a little fly. She came in today moaning she'd been bitten by two flying ants, for goodness sake.
It is flying ant day today. So she might be right. You need to tell her it's all that mashed potato if it's just her and not you.
Potatoes are a type of fruit. Look at all these fruit flies you've got in here. We need to get rid of this mashed potato.
They didn't let me put it in room 101, so now we've got to get rid of it at the house.
We got a big ant nest in our compost heap at the moment, so I flung back the cover to try and throw some stuff in there today, and there's just eggs all over the place and flying ants just nice. Yes, mosquitoes and gnats. I think that's definitely, because they are a pain, they are a pest, and they do they do cause diseases and death and destruction wherever they go. So, yeah, and stuff the ecosystem.
If something like disappears from the ecosystem, I'm sure there's another bug that the things that eat those gnats and mosquitoes will adapt to. They'll just get a different takeout. It's a different delivery system. It's fine. Yeah. The bats just need to get spiders. Better Wi-Fi. Spiders. There you go.
We don't mind spiders. We'll take spiders.
Yeah, I mean,
just not in Australia.
At least they're silent. They just sit in the corner. They do nothing. They just sit there and eat the flies. Those little things. And then they go away and you think, oh, right, I've got it rid of it. And they just as I'm about to fall asleep. Like, I swear, it's not their wings. Yeah. They do it on purpose. They just have a little megaphone, a little gnat megaphone.
They're all stood on the bed head there. look at this one. Look at this guy. Look at this guy. Watch. I've got him again.
It's those vuvuzelas that came out like a couple of years ago with all the Football World Cup. Oh, go away.
Fabulous. Okay, Dan, what's your next entry to room 101?
Well, actually, when Casey mentioned blood-sucking animals, I thought we were talking about my manager, but there we go. But it actually has something to do with my second choice. One-to-one interviews, interviews and corporate reappraisals of your work. Gone are the days where you can just sit down with your manager with a cup of tea or a coffee and just have a little chinwag about what you've done. Anything else you want to do? I've had that in every other job. So I worked at Wilkinson's, which is a business that apparently is disappearing now. It's actually gone into administration, so it probably won't be on the high street any longer. Back when I was 16, first job, had this interview with a boss, about 5 minutes of actual interview, and we spent the rest of the hour talking about Star Trek, his favorite comic books, and we just had a bit of a conversation. And he was like, yep, okay, you've got it. You've got the job. We're just going to have a chat about what your responsibilities are. Done. Job done. He managed to tick off the little boxes that he had to, you know, fill out for the thing, but he talked to me like an adult. Great. So that was a good job. Moved on, went to be sort of a Christmas temp usher at a cinema. Again, sort of sat down. We went through an interview process. There were questions he had in front of him, but he spent about 10 minutes on that and we moved on. The current job I have, the lady I sat down with, Pam, she would interview you and try and get your personality. Are you an outgoing person? Could you communicate to people? This, that, and the other. Brilliant interviews. We sat down, we talked about, you know, what would I like to get out of the job? She wasn't ticking boxes. She wasn't trying to say, oh, well, you know, you're not going to meet this criteria or that criteria. We just had a conversation. She treated me like an adult. Wonderful. And then corporate came along. And then there were boxes. There were forms we had to fill in. A pre-interview survey. Then you have the interview. And then you have a post-interview survey. Were you satisfied with this on a scale of 1 to 10? I don't know. Is a 6 that much better than a 7? I mean, where are we going to sit on this? I don't get it. If you have to tick a box rather than just having a conversation with someone, it ain't working for me. So I just want to get rid of corporate structures of hiring and promotions and things like that. Just sit down and have a cup of tea or a coffee, please.
Oh,
down with the hegemony.
up with the workers.
Yes. Oh, I'm absolutely with you on this one. I mean, interviews were hard enough back in the day anyway, but now they've just made them even impossible to. Everybody knew who they wanted. Whereas if you were interviewing people, you say, I like this guy, we'll have him. Oh, and then now it's, no, you can't do that. They're not the right person, or you know, I've never seen it, but you know, there's been a lot of people saying it's not the right race, they're not the right color, they're not the right sex. There's too much of that. Are they capable of doing the job? Is the question that should be asked, and if they are, then you take them on. A bit of a simplistic view, obviously, but when you say about one-to-one interviews, we used to get them when I was working at B&Q, and it was the same thing over and over again. Everybody had their one-to-one. They were asked questions, and then they said, the first thing that my boss said when we sat down is, I can't give you any more money. So I said, well, that's the end of the interview then. What else are we going to talk about? He said, well, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? You want to go? I said, no, I'm not bothered about becoming a team leader or manager. I'm not. It's not me. I don't want to do that. I'm only here for a couple of weeks and I'm off. You know, this is a stepping stone for another job. I've got no career in B&Q. And when I left after 5.5 years, after thinking, hang on a minute, this was supposed to be a stepping stone, having quite liked the job and helping people, you know, with their projects, etc., which was the most satisfying part of the job, which then turned into just go and stack these shelves. Which is not what I wanted to do. There was no, you know, I had no, I, you know, and the managers above us who you know were earning what they thought was a lot of money, but is actually not a lot of money, and had all the power and everything. And then I didn't want to go that way. I didn't want to see that. I just wanted to get on and do another job. But so when I got into this job and they started the one-to-one interviews here because they realized that they had to tick boxes, and you go in and they ask the questions and they tick their boxes and right, okay, we've done this now and off you go. And I remember sitting down for the first one that I had with my current boss and I said, I know what you're going to say. And he said, what's that? And I said, you can't give me any more money. He went, Well, that's true. He said, but you get a pay rise every year. I said, no. Everybody gets a pay rise every year. That's just because you have to in order to keep up with competition and also the cost of living, etc. But everybody gets a percentage pay rise. So therefore, the people at the bottom are moving, the people who are higher up are moving slowly but surely further away from the people at the bottom. So their pay rises are bigger than ours. Then it's the, well, what do you want to do? Where do you want to go? Well, my position has nowhere to go. I can't go higher up than they can. It's a single one-off job. It's not like I can do my boss's job because he's more of an engineering person, which I couldn't deal with that. So there are other jobs in the factory that we could go to and move around, but there's nowhere to go. So fill in this form. We've got a company, a corporate, a questionnaire, which we fill in every couple of years. Now, we did this in B&Q, and after 2 years in a row getting such a bad score, because everybody was answering the question, do you have the tools to do the job? People said no, but there was nowhere in the questionnaire to say what you need. So 2 years in a row, this question was put out, and 2 years in a row, the particular B&Q that I was in, was getting really low scores. So what they did for the third year is they, in the one-to-one interviews, they said to people, look, you've got this questionnaire coming up. These are the questions that we're going to ask you. What are your answers to these questions? I said, well, this is supposed to be anonymous, isn't it? I said, well, yes, but we need to make sure that you're answering the questions correctly. I said, okay. Do you have the tools to do your job? No. Why? Sorry, because I said, is why on the going to be one of the questions? And he said, no, we just want to know why you're saying, we give you these electronic buggies that you can drive around on, and they go up and down, and you can go to the higher shelves and get things off the higher shelves. We give you ladders to do this. What else do you need? I said, well, a pen and paper would be nice. So when somebody comes up to me and says, can you order me some of these? I'll actually write it down. Well, that's not the sort of question that we mean. So, well, I haven't got the tools to do my job, which is take orders off people, write down what they want. If somebody phones me up and says, can you hold back three of these for me? I've got to go walk to the other end of the building to go and get them. By the time I got down there, I forgot what they've asked me. So if I can just write it down on a piece of paper. So 2 weeks later, massive pile of B&Q notepads and pens turn up. So now you've got the tools to do the job. Answer the bloody questions.
And it's still a no because there's like six other pieces that
exactly,
you do need.
Yeah,
as well.
There's other stuff as well. Yeah, so
that's
yeah,
it. No. It's context. That's what I want. I want context. I want sort of human interaction so that you can get the whys and the hows, not just necessarily what you think. Our one has been the famous one for the last 5 years. We've done how is our communication in the office? It's the worst score of everything. No one communicates. No one lets us know. Their idea of doing that is to then increase us doing this survey now 6 months, not every year. And they still haven't improved the communication. They've just got us to tell them that our communication is still as frustrating as ever.
But that's communicating. So
it is more communication, but it's still saying nothing. And that's what really drives me nuts about one-to-one interviews.
Yeah.
It will eventually work in your favor, though, Dan, because in that corporate setup, when you leave, you'll have to do all your exit interviews and stuff. And if they're following format of doing pre-interview, interview, post-interview, you could expect up to 10 exit interviews, and then you can just let it all out, just everything you want to say.
True. There are like six managers I need to say like a goodbye to, an official goodbye to, and write it all in triplicate. So, oh God.
Well, there you go. There you have it.
I did that when I left one company, and it was one particular manager who I didn't get on with. So I thought, right, I'm leaving. And I wrote a scathing description of him in the exit interview. And I said, the rest of the, everybody else is fine. No problem with any other managers, just this particular one. A few years later, a job came up. Not the same department, but in the same building, and I went back for an interview, and none of them really sort of recognised me, but I knew a couple of them, and we got talking, and I said, oh yeah, I've been here before, and I recognised somebody from that, and they all went, oh right, okay, yeah, and I can guarantee they either knew already, or they must have gone away and said, Has he been here before? Why did he leave? Where's his exit interview? And they must have read that because I found it a few years ago and I went, oh my God, no wonder I didn't get that job. If that was the scathing report I wrote down, they don't want that again. So I want to shot myself in the foot with that one. But it worked out for the best anyway, but yeah.
Yeah. You look behind you. Oh, look at those burning bridges. Ooh.
Yes, yes. Yes, you know, I'll burn those bridges when I get to them. So, yeah. Okay, so are we all going with that? I think we're all saying that, yeah.
Yeah.
One-to-one interviews and interviews in general are awful. Okay. So it's back to me then. Now, I was originally, when we were discussing just before we came on air, we were discussing a few things. I couldn't think what my fourth thing was going to be, and I came up with one, and I thought, oh, yes, that's right, yes. Due to the recent episode of Star Trek Strange New Worlds, it reminded me just how much I hate musicals. So for Casey's benefit, Star Trek the Strange New Worlds, it's all based around the original series, you know, the James T. Kirk sort of era, but it has his old Captain Pike, and it's fabulous. It is the best Star Trek ever. It has gone back to basics. It's got a lot of humor in it. And they've really started playing around with it. So there is also a Lower Decks series, which bases itself on the not the officers, but the people who actually do the work. You know, the people who clean the decks and you know, do all the meeting. You know, go down to the planet as a secondary team, not the first team. That is an animated series. In Strange New Worlds, they brought the animated characters into the real world. Now, I would have liked them to have had the animated character in like a Mary Poppins style, you know, you've got them in the same scene. But what they did is they converted the actual actor who plays the character, in, voices the character, became the real character in the real world. Oh, and then right at the end, they animated the real people in a brief scene in the Lower Decks episode. Then they decided, we are going to investigate this rift in space. And they get there and they send out some messages to it to say, you know, we're here in peace, blah, 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 like you normally do. And this noise keeps coming back and they don't know what it is. So they send out some musical noise. And it rips the space a bit more and this sound comes back and suddenly they start singing. Yes, it's a musical. And it's just awful.
It wasn't actually as bad as I expected.
It was very well produced.
I liked it.
Very well sung, very well acted, very well crafted episode.
Very well done.
But I just don't get musicals. Oh, that's, and to be fair, I'll be fair here. I do get musicals. There are a few that I like, but it's the one, and I've been to see a few, but in general, I don't like musicals. But I knew I was going to be up against you know, a few people here to try and get this in. So right before we started recording, I thought, Dan mentioned something, and I thought, no, there's a specific musical here that I could possibly squeeze in. So I'd like Calamity Jane. And I used to like My Fair Lady before I watched it recently, and it does not age well. So, and you know, it's talk about strong female characters when you really want them to be a bit stronger. I have been to see Evita, and I at one point I did have the DVD. So I get musicals, I understand them. I get, you know, I like the idea. I you know, I've seen Cats. I'm not a big fan of when it's all singing, and they even sing when they're talking about what they're going to do next. I'm going to pick up this cup and drink from it. And, you know, I don't get that bit. The Doris Day doing Calamity Jane is fabulous. They do their bit, and then they sing to emphasize a point, which is what Star Trek did. And then there's a combination of my most hated thing of all time and musicals, and that's the Disney musical. When we went to Disney, I hate Disney. And when we went to Disney, I hate being told to be happy at any time. I'll be happy when I'm happy. Don't tell me to be happy. Don't tell me this place is going to make me happy. It's too pink. It's too flowery. It's too princessy. Get it away from me.
Oh, I.
So we walk into Disney. And the photographer, female photographer, jumps out and goes, let me take a picture of the of you in the castle in the background. And we'd had a bit of a traumatic time getting there in the first place. So I wasn't in the best of moods. Of course, this woman starts singing, you know, make it so, as I call it. Let it go, let it go. I'm going to punch this woman in the face. So, yeah, no, Frozen, I ain't going to be watching that anytime soon. Don't be start singing at me, you know, with Disney. So Disney musicals are going in. They're not. I know they're not, but they're going in.
Oh, do you know what? Yeah, the better chance if you just stuck to musicals. I think when you start naming specific things, that's where it gets dodgy because people have their favorites. I absolutely adore more than any composer or musician in the world, Hans Zimmer, who has made some of the most beautiful and moving pieces of music. The Lion King soundtrack is chef's kiss. You can't put Disney musicals in there when you go back to the classics. You can't. I mean, some of the more modern ones, maybe, even though they're very inclusive and they're making marginalized community individuals feel very included. But you can't when you go back to the classics. I mean, maybe when I say classics, maybe I just feel like you're attacking my childhood, not just my children's childhood when you talk about Frozen. But yeah, I don't know. There's so much beautiful music that would be lost if you did that. Just and musicals as well. I really want to see the Book of Mormon because I'm a massive, massive South Park fan and also somewhat of a cult expert. So those two things together, I mean, I need to see that before musicals go in room 101.
So I'm up against Dan here because I know when I said Disney musicals, I know Dan straight away, he's going, whoa. So
no, can't. I'm sorry. I mean, if I say it, then I get a divorce. I can't say anything Disney goes in room 101. That's it. And I love my wife. I'm not giving that up. The Klingon boy band at least makes that episode the best in Star Trek's canon. Like the fact that the four Klingons started doing backflips and then they're flinging their swords around. It's like, why are you coming around like this? It's fantastic. Schmigadoon is a series that's on Apple Plus, and it is a series where a couple are having marital problems in season one. They go into a cloudy sort of like a couples therapy thing, and it's in the woods, and they go into this cloudy area of the woods, and they just arrive in this beautiful, pristine 1950s place called Schmigadoon, where everybody starts singing, and through musicals they heal their relationship. It's a comedy, it's fantastic, it's all done, and it takes the mickey out of musicals as well. So without having musicals, you can't then take the mickey out of musicals and do something fun with it. So you need musicals for that. Cats, if you'd been very specific, yeah, 100% I'm putting Cats into there. I hate Cats. It's something about the dancing and the singing just doesn't work for me whatsoever.
I find TV musical episodes really cringy. Like if people just break out into song, I'm like my butt cheeks are clenched and I'm like, I have secondhand cringe here. Thinking about them filming it all, and I'm like, is that their real voice? Like, I don't. Yeah. It happens in a couple of shows. Didn't it happen in an episode of Scrubs? It's just no. It makes me uncomfortable. If you would have said, Paul, let's put TV musical episodes in, and I'm not talking about Glee. I mean, I've never watched Glee, but that's specifically like that's what it is.
The Office.
I'm talking about. Yeah, one-off musical episodes. Oh no, but musicals overall. I don't know. I'd be interested to hear where Sean's leaning and if it's a 50-50 split.
It is a 50-50 split. I'm 100% with Paul. I would get rid of every single musical ever. I can't sing. I can't dance. I don't even hear music when the TV shows are going, unless they're singing, of course. I remember being in the choir in grade 2 and the teacher told me to lip sync. So I've been traumatized by music since I was a child. So yeah, I will live in Paul's world and totally get rid of them myself.
You see, here's the thing. Now, if you listen to the music from Calamity Jane, some of those songs got to number one in the charts. They were fabulous, fabulous songs, beautifully written. But when you listen to them, you're taking them out of context. But they're still fabulous songs. Nobody has ever said, "Oh, I've got a." You know, or everybody says, "I've got the music. I've got the album of the soundtrack of this play of this film of the." You know, I've even got the music from Alien or something like that, which isn't a musical. You've got the music from it. Nobody says, "I've got a copy of all the musical bits taken out of the film. It's just the film." When they talk about a fabulous musical, they talk about the music. They say, the music, this scene was fabulous. The way they were singing and dancing, and you just did it then, Dan. That boy band was in the Klingon boy band was hilarious. But the acting scenes in between, what, are they not good? I mean, what's wrong with everybody? There's some fabulous scenes in Calamity Jane, you know, which are brilliant, brilliant scenes. Some great stuff about, you know, talking about Indians when they, obviously she's a supporter of the Indians. I'm saying Indians in inverted commas here, Native Americans, obviously, but they call them Indians. She's a big supporter of them when, you know, some of the cowboys were against them. So, you know, there's all these sort of scenes in it, but everybody remembers, you know, all the songs and says, the songs are fantastic. That's the best bit of the musical. It's music.
I don't know. I've never seen Calamity Jane, but I was doing my listening exams, my musical singing exams when I was younger, and one of the songs was, I just blew in from the windy city.
The windy city is mighty pretty, but it ain't got what we've got. I'm a telling you, boy. I could go on, but anyway.
If we get rid of musicals, we don't get that. We don't, we miss
which is probably good.
That's okay. That's okay.
That's why we need to get rid of musicals. What was I going to say? I was just thinking of something then. Oh, yeah, Doris Day. If you want to see, Calamity Jane is fabulous. Doris Day, she used to live just outside the studios with her husband. And she said to her husband one morning, I've got to go in and record the music for this particular scene. And he said, right, okay, I'll see you later then. She walked into the studios and she came back about 5 minutes, 10 minutes later. And her husband said, oh, were they not ready for you? She says, no, I've done it. She went in, sang the song, one take, back home.
Nice.
That's an absolute professional for you. You know, she was fabulous, fabulous singer. And a great actress.
She wouldn't have had a chance to prove that skill.
And did comedy brilliantly as well, which is another skill. But, you know, she could have gone in, sung the songs, they could have put it on an album, would have made a million, and, you know, she would have been happy. Don't have to put it in a film.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm so torn on this one. I'm even thinking about South Park. The movie was so good.
Oh, yes.
Team America is so good.
Absolutely. Yeah. So is this sort of teetering on the edge of falling into 101, but it keeps singing its little heart out and it comes back in and then it comes back in again?
It's dancing through the halls.
Yes, I will. No, you won't. Yes, I will.
I'm falling into the room. It's like, can I come in, please? Can I come in? And there's people inside going, no, we're not. There's nobody here. We're not in today.
It's a little solo. There's a little person just with like one single spotlight. It's like, room 101. Am I all done? Am I going to stay or am I going to go? And then the chorus comes in. Oh, yeah.
Well, and now Dan does a backflip. Go on, Dan. Yeah. You can do it.
all the doors in the corridor are opening and closing. And hey.
He's going, he's in, he's out.
So
should we leave it to the audience, perhaps?
Yes, let's put it to a vote. Let's send it out there and see whether Disney musicals should go into Room 101 or not. In the meantime, Sean, what is your number three?
Flex denim. I hate flex denim. In fact, I hate shopping for jeans. But if I finally find a pair of decent jeans, and it's flex denim, I don't like it. I you know, do you guys have that over there?
Yeah, like a stretch jeans or something.
Yeah, stretchy like jeans. Leggings, but they're supposed to be jeans, but they're they're not jeans. They're jeans, but they're not. You know, like I want a pair of jeans where it doesn't stretch. I can't stand it. I hate shopping for jeans, and then I find a perfect pair, but no, it's flex denim. So that's got to go into the room.
Just realized I've never seen your legs, Sean, so I wouldn't be able to say anything about this, but well, I'm with you on this.
I've seen his trousers, I've never seen his legs, but yeah. they look good on some people, mostly women, because men don't have the shape for that, to show off the body like that. It looks wrong when you... my wife wears jeggings now and again, these like legging jean type things, which is obviously flex denim, as you would call it. And she looks good in them. I don't like wearing tight clothes like that. You know, if they're like drainpipe trousers or whatever, they're a bit too restrictive. I prefer to have like normal, you know, type things. So I don't know. If you got rid of them, there'd be a lot of, you know, I don't want to sound sexist here, a lot of women out there wearing these, jeggings or whatever, and you get to see the shape of the legs and the body, and I think that's a nice thing. So no, I don't want to get rid of that.
But you can also just get like skinny jeans, do the same thing.
Yeah, but they don't stretch, do they? They're just like.
Then you just get leggings. You don't need jeans and leggings to make jeggings. You can just have one or the other. I don't know.
Yoga. Yeah, on this one. Women can have their yoga pants, but we don't need flex denim.
This is what comes up when I Google flex denim.
Ooh.
Is this what happens, Sean? You go in, this is the perfect pair of jeans you find, and then you touch them with their flex denim.
I've never seen anything like that, but no, they look like a regular pair of Levi's or whatever, but they're not.
Just for the audience, these look like something like, Elmer and the Patchwork Elephant?
It's like Andy Warhol's thrown up over them.
Yeah, you remember those Magic Eye pictures from the 90s? That's pretty much what they are, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'm sure if you squint, you could see something in there.
We're just out of touch with fashion, guys. That's what it is.
Yeah.
At least
you're talking to the wrong person about fashion here.
Yeah, that's it.
I've never been in touch with it, so, I mean, I wouldn't know where to start.
No, I wouldn't know where to start. It's only recently I stopped wearing jeans. 58 years old.
He's wearing flex denim. He's wearing leggings, guys.
Ooh, so what are we doing? Are we, who's with Sean here and who's not with Sean?
Oh, I'm 100%. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So it's going in then. That's a majority vote. There you go, Sean. You don't have to shop for your jeans and pick up the wrong ones now.
Good, because it's already stressful enough without that.
The anticipation. Is it Gene? Is it not Gene?
That's right. Can't take it.
Don't start that again. It sounded like a flipping musical. Sean going down there. Is it jeans? Is it not jeans? Is it denim? Is it flex denim?
Yeah, you won't catch me singing.
You just enjoy it too much. You enjoy it too much. There's something that's just not, you know, you need to be more harsh. You had mashed potatoes, but you don't want mashed potatoes. Like, you're giving us mixed signals, Paul. My next one is a bit difficult because I don't know how you get around not putting the entire thing in room 101, but edges of like bed frames and things that you like hit your big toe or little toe on, like all of those things need to go in conjunction with door handles and things that repeatedly get stuck on your clothes. I don't want to throw like all door handles and all bed frames in room 101, but I also want to stop hitting myself on things and like going to walk out the back door and then being pulled back because I'm stuck on the, it's not even the door frame. We have like patio doors and it's the large screw fitting that comes out to lock the patio door. That's what gets stuck. I have like 3 t-shirts with holes in because that's what gets stuck when I'm trying to walk out the patio door. I want to just stop getting stuck on things and hurt on things. Maybe it's me.
For a start, you can't take door handles off because you never get room 101 open. So we couldn't throw anything away. So that's a bit of a pain. But maybe you want to open your doors a bit wider. I don't know. I'm just saying. Having done that myself, a t-shirt, I've walked past a door handle and a flaming t-shirt gets caught on it. So the sleeve of my t-shirt's in it. And you're pulled back. I have seen though something wickedly horrible. When we were in school, two boys running, you know, chasing each other, like playing around, running down the corridor, just as somebody opened the door, which opens outwards. And as he ran past, you know, running, obviously, you know, you're moving your arms back and forwards. He was moving his arms forward as the door opened, and the door handle went straight into his elbow and ripped his elbow open. So that was pretty horrific. So yeah, you sort of about catching things on door handles. That was one of the worst things I've seen. But yeah, it's
we can have whoosh doors like on Star Trek and grocery stores.
Yeah,
that'd be fine.
Then we don't need handles at all.
Automatic doors.
Whoosh. Yeah. That's cool. Not whoosh doors that slam closed, because I think I told you guys about me taking the top of my finger off.
Yes.
Yes.
So I mean, Doors just freak me out in general, but you can't tell me, Paul, that you've never stubbed your toe on something and been like, I wish that wasn't fucking there.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. But every time I've thought, how long has that been there? Yes, Paul, the bed has been there for quite a few years. You should know to walk around the bed by now. You know where the bed is. It's when you get the duvet hanging over the edge of the bed and you misjudge where the actual edge of the bed is. You know, that's when you don't see the bit sticking out.
I think Lee manages to catch his knee on the corner of the bed frame every single time he walks in or out of the room. And his reaction is to like hit something to distract himself from the pain. So it's not me. It's usually like the mattress, the bed, something. And I would just like also for none of that to happen. So no knees, no ankles, no toes getting hit. No clothes being caught on door handles. That always seems to happen when I'm really stressed out already. And then I just get really, really, really angry, but embarrassingly so angry that I've caught myself on the door frame and I just don't want that to happen anymore.
It's amazing. Like when I bang, like you say, stub a toe or bang an elbow, which is really your first thing is I either scream so loud that it brings the house down or you go, oh, God.
Yeah,
and then go quiet as though you don't want to really let it out, but you really should do, really, because you're just building it up. But then it's that silence that you wait for it, bloody thing. It's like, yeah, it's weird. So what we really need,
if anyone's there to see you, they're like, are you okay, and you're like, just let me feel through the pain.
Yeah, the worst thing is when you bang your elbow and you get that funny bone and it just goes straight down your arm and your whole arm's going numb. Yeah. And somebody goes, here, rub it better. You go, cut off, that's not helping. Or pins and needles in your leg or something, you go, rub it better, get off me, your leg. It's not making it any better.
You're ruining my stretched denim. Go away.
Have you hurt yourself? Have you hurt? No. Try singing.
My funny bone.
Yeah, you try singing when you've stubbed your toe on a bed near the bedpost. Yeah. What you should do though is have a round bed, and then there won't be a corner for it to stub yourself on.
I still think it would happen. I'm not convinced, you know. I remember going on holiday when I was a kid and my dad stubbed his toe so badly on the corner of the bed frame in the villa that we were staying in that we couldn't even go and do our activities the next day because his toe was broken and it was like the nail was so bloody and bleeding. And we'd booked out these paddle boats that we couldn't even go and use because he'd, you know, maybe it's that childhood memory that just makes me think every time I hurt myself, I'm like, these should just not exist. This should not be able to happen.
So you're telling me, Casey, that you are the sort of person that would stub your toe on a round bed with no corners?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you should. Yeah, absolutely. Lee calls me a whirlwind because I just managed to like hurt myself, spill everything I eat and drink. Just, I'm always covered in bruises. He's always like, how did you get that bruise? It's massive. How did you get that bruise? When we were away a few weeks ago, I walked into an elevator as the doors were closing and I thought if I go in, it's just going to stop, but it didn't. It carried on closing onto my arm and I had a bruise on the whole upper side of my arm and everybody kept looking at it over the weekend and I was like, oh yeah, that's from the elevator. And I would tell people what happened and they'd kind of be side-eyeing my partner and I'd be like, no, there were witnesses, there were other people on the lift and they saw it happen and I'm very embarrassed about the whole thing. So yeah, again, maybe it's just me.
No. This is why I like sci-fi. We got slidey doors and I was promised hover chairs. When I was a teenager, I was promised hover chairs for a reason. I don't catch my toe, don't catch my elbow, don't catch my knee. I'd be much safer. So give me hover chairs. Absolutely. 100% with you on that one.
And like you said, Battlestar Galactica took off all the corners, so they knew what they were talking about.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They had this discussion eons ago.
Exactly.
Yes. In Galactica, definitely. Yeah. Right. Okay. So edges of beds and frames and corners that catch you and doors and things. Definitely. Yeah. All of that. Mm-hmm.
Glad. I'm glad. Good. Yes. Gone. Bye.
I've got a keyboard here with round keys. You've just taken all my edges away.
Surely that's more natural, actually. That'd be quite curved for the finger.
Mine are like squoval, you know, like square, overly keen.
I've now, how do I watch TV? Because TVs are square pictures. And I've got to have, I can't have edges. I've got to have, so we're going to have round TVs now. It's like going back to the old radar days, you know, like a TV with a round circle screen. No
don't
edges.
Don't think too much into it, because I'm sure if we did, nothing would exist.
Well, yeah, that's right, because you couldn't send your kids into the naughty corner, because there wouldn't be a corner now. There'd be a round edge to it.
I know. We don't use a naughty corner. We use the step.
The naughty step is what we used to use.
Just the step, not naughty.
Oh.
I save that word for times where things are really bad. That is naughty.
I like it.
Okay, Dan, finally. Yeah.
Now, this one, I know Casey is not a fan of my choice on this one, but this is the one. This is the one that anytime someone brings up the conversation of 101, this is the choice that I always make. I work for a tourism industry. We do arts and crafts all the time. I have three children who have grown up and done arts and crafts as well. I have been to many a rave and a disco or whatever, and they always crack this out because apparently everybody likes it, but I do not. And even if we're going to the higher authorities here, the British Journal of Hazardous Materials classes this as a dangerous substance. The UK Marine Pollution Bulletin Survey also class this as a hazard to marine life. Not just some fish, all marine life is impacted by this substance. This is the most evil, shiny thing in existence, and it is craft glitter. Specifically craft glitter, partly because one time I went to Alton Towers, they all we had this thing where you could buy a package as a family and you get like a certain amount of photos with different rides. But as a family, they dress you up. They give you costumes as you go around Alton Towers. If you've got 12 or more in your party, they gave us cowboy hats. What kind of cowboy hats? Glitter cowboy hats. We had to put them on. Now, I have a quite shiny forehead. I don't need anything shiny on top of it. It scratched my head. Bits of the glitter started coming down my head. It was a hot day, so it's going into the sweat, going into the pores of my skin, causing me to scratch profusely, almost tearing the skin apart. It went into my eyes. There was a piece of glitter on the side of my cornea, and it scratched the inside of the cornea as well. This thing will kill you. Glitter is here to end your life, whether it's marine life that you might want to have with your fish and chips, but certainly not mashed potato for Paul. Glitter will kill you, and that's why it's going into 101, never to be seen again. And even that, even then, when we push it in, some little bit's going to just get on the outside of 101, and it's going to try and get in. It's going to try and get in the musical room because it knows it's teetering on the edge, because musicals and glitter go together as well. But glitter needs to go in 101 and never return.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, I'm in.
Well, that was a very passionate speech there, Dan.
I'm convinced. Yeah. Totally.
Just ask a few kind of questions, logistic questions.
Spire
are you talking like gel pens are glittery and you get glitter pens? So there's no
If it's that little stuff, if you know the really thick glitter you can get, you can kind of, PVA glue onto pictures and stuff like that. You can make like a little collage and stuff. If it's the one that fits on the end of your finger.
Shake it off.
Yeah, that stuff, the really small stuff, no. The really big stuff that kind of fits on the end of your finger and it's got like a shell pattern or a moon or a star, that's fine because that can sweep up. I can get that inside the little dustpan and brush. But the really tiny stuff, the stuff that's still there 6 years after I made that freaking macaroni pasta picture thing that they had to do for their bloody homework, that little thing that is still underneath the fridge, oh, that drives me nuts.
What about glitter glue pens? I'm just thinking about you need to zhuzh things up sometimes. Like you can't zhuzh if there's no glitter.
Use the big thick stuff. That's fine. The really big glitter, the stuff that is like shapes and stuff. That's fine. That's okay. We can zhuzh it up. It's shiny. That's fine. We got tin foil. we can use that. You know, bubble writing, back when you had to do your homework and do your coursework for your GCSEs and A-level, do a bit of bubble writing. Who doesn't love a bit of bubble writing? That shushes it up nice and well. Anyone who puts glitter on their coursework immediately would get an F or whatever the grading criteria is now. I think it's a 1 now. No glitter, none of that tiny little stuff that gets everywhere.
So what about? I'm going for confetti here. Confetti. Can I back sort of jump on the back of this and say confetti as well? I know you were saying what you were saying about bigger glitter there is similar to confetti, but confetti tends to be paper. The sort of things that people would put, you know, little shapes made out of sort of card or you know glittery type of material, where people put them into cards. And so, you know, happy anniversary. So you open your anniversary card and all this glitter's on your lap, all this stuff, confetti and shiny stuff, and it's everywhere. And so I would put, and when my wife and I got married, we, after the wedding, we went back to a hotel. We had a reception. After the reception, just as we were getting ready to have the party for the evening, my wife said, I need to go upstairs and do my hair and get it all you know, back as, you know, as good as it was. And one of the girls, one of her friends said, I can come up and help you do that. So she came up with us. As we were sort of got into the room and we sort of were just about getting ready, her friend pulled back the duvet on the sheets on the bed and poured a big ton carton of confetti into the bed.
No.
So, of course, we had to then pick it out and get rid of it and tidy it up. The next morning, we wake up and my wife gets out of bed and I start giggling. I said, you've got a pink piece of confetti stuck to your back there. And then she started giggling at me and said, you've got a blue piece stuck on you.
Yeah.
Quite appropriate, but it was the next day. I mean, stupid stuff was everywhere. So I get it with glitter. I can understand it because it's even finer and smaller and more horrible than confetti. But yeah. Nightmare. Yeah, because you're going into somebody's house who has a small child, apologies, Casey, but you know, and you know instantly without knowing the person, without knowing who's in the house, you know there's a bit of child in that room because you'll see little bits of glitter in the carpet, and it may have even been there from the previous occupiers.
Yeah.
Well, we did say that glitter is for life, not just for a day. And actually, Paul, I don't know that that's 100% true because glitter is not really allowed in this house. We've got so many packs of it. And my son's always like, can I have that tub? Can I have that box? Can I have that packet? And I'm waiting until they're a little bit bigger and can be a little bit more responsible, because otherwise it will look the way you've just described, Paul. They have so many other things. They have crayons. They have pens. They have pencils, they have paints, but right now, I mean, they even have slime, but right now they don't have the glitter. So I'm perfectly inclined sensible. I'm inclined to agree with Dan, although I don't want anything in my bed. I don't want crumbs, confetti, nothing. Yeah. In room 101 goes everything that could ever possibly be in your bed that's not supposed to be in there. My partner says I have obsessive compulsive disorder because any crumbs in the bed, I'm there like trying to get the crumbs out the bed. I've spent about 10 minutes doing it, like move, let me just get these crumbs out. Oh, here she is, obsessive compulsive. So yeah, I'd just like to throw in another extra room 101 addition, and that's anything good in the bed that's not meant to be there.
Now every there's crumb. More rump. There's now more room under the bed because you just got rid of all the corners. So we can just get it all under the bed and it's all soft. So that when you hit your toe on that, oh, that's fine. That's all right. We can move on.
Yeah, true.
Weaver.
True.
Weaver.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's definitely glitter's got to go in. I think, Daniel, you were so passionate about it going in. And you've talked about nothing else all week. So
Oh God, any chance? I've been really boring the people at work by saying, look, I'm putting glitter in there, no matter what you say.
Yeah.
Even the learning team at work were like, oh, but we need glitter for all this stuff. No, you don't. You really don't need glitter ever again.
So Dan, do we have any replies to our requests on social media to say, does anybody out there have anything they want to put into room 101?
Oh boy, do we. Yeah, So we had glitter from Senor Daniel Hitch. We had glitter from Signore Danieles Hicharos. We had loads of feedback. This really was one of those things that everyone got back to us with. We did an episode a long time ago where it was a bucket list. What would you like to do? The anti-bucket list. Mm. What are the things that you just, if you ended your life right now and you didn't get to achieve, actually, I don't mind. We can sack it off. And that got a lot of response. This is one I think that's just blown it out of the water. We had so much feedback. I'm going to read all of them because these are fantastic. We've just had a few more. I just posted on Facebook and a few other social medias. You know, this is your last chance to get your thing in. Get them in now. Just now. In fact, the learning team I just mentioned who just wanted to poo-poo my glitter. We had Tracy from my learning team put in raw onions. Oh. So if we put the raw onions with the mashed potato.
No, yeah, just raw onions. I like raw onions. No.
Yeah, I eat like an onion a day. I have like tuna mayo with onion and every day. And if I run out of onion, I'm so sad because you can't just have tuna on its own. I mean, Paul said he doesn't like fish, but I'm there for tuna, onion, and mayo. I don't know.
Cheese and onion, yeah. Yes, I'll get a piece of onion. Yeah, a piece of onion, a piece of cheese. Yeah, absolutely. Raw cheese with onion on sandwiches. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, or like salsa when you get the red onions in there. Sometimes that.
Oh quite, yeah, the red onions are really good.
Tracy also picked windy days, so that kind of goes with umbrellas, I suppose. Yeah. Destroys your. Yeah.
A windy day will kill so much activities. Rain, you can put, you know, you might get away with it, but wind is a killer. You can't run in it. You can't use your umbrella in it. You can't. You can't fly things. You can fly a kite, but you can't. Your drones are downed. You know, you might be able to sail a boat, I suppose, but you know. But then it's in a wet and windy day. So why would you? Yeah.
Very true.
Yeah.
She also picked slow walkers. If you're stuck behind a slow walker.
I almost said that one myself.
And then Debbie, also from the lane team, was her kids said sand, wasps, and soggy chips.
Can't stand sand. It's coarse, it gets everywhere.
Wasps, especially. Yeah. Wasps, I do not. What's the point? Why? That's what I ask. Why?
You're breaking my heart, Shawnee. You're breaking my heart. Yeah, it's not. It's not nice. Like if it's soggy with a vinegar, I'm usually all right with that. But a good thing I don't pick vinegar because that is actually my sister-in-law, Vicky Sargent, who was a guest on very early episode for us, the Women and Comedy episode. But vinegar, she does not like vinegar. So vinegar on chips with soggy chips. I like it with chips.
I grew up on the beach, so yeah. I mean, not on the beach, but right by the beach. So it's hard for me to not like, you know, British weather and rain, soggy chips and rain, vinegar and British chips on the seaside, sand on the beach at the seaside. I don't know. I'm feeling like a bit left out of this one.
Oh yeah, no, we used to have, because Park Gate is just up the road. I mean, obviously, Casey knows Parkgate. Little seaside. That's not even seaside, is it? It's a little riverside promenade that you can walk along, and there's shops there, and they do all the seafood there. And they used to do little tubs of prawns and shrimps and cockles. And you used to get cockles and dip them in vinegar.
Mm.
And that was really nice.
So, that's how my mum eats them. She'll have a bowl full of vinegar and she'll just throw seafood in. But seafood is actually what my partner said he wants to throw in room 101. So well,
my wife would actually agree with him, but I wouldn't allow it.
For sure. That's gross.
Oh, no.
What's that?
Shrimps.
Shrimps?
I can't stand it. They disgust me.
No.
Jumbo I love prawns. All of it. Prawns, mussels. Get in there with the mussels.
The only thing about mussels is
making me hungry.
The only thing about a mussel is if you get a bit of grit in it and then you're just munching away on this soft piece of meat and then suddenly
that's a low quality mussel, Paul. That's a low quality mussel. They've come from the bottom of the barrel.
Yes. If we're going to put food in, if we're still going on food here, vanilla. Let's throw vanilla in.
Vanilla.
Yeah, anything flavor. So that takes out custard, ice creams, some ice creams, obviously vanilla ice creams. Anything with vanilla pod in it. You know, it's just awful stuff. Tasted horrible.
Creme brulee.
Unfortunately, you've got me on that one.
Because
I like creme brulee and I do like a custard slice, but it's hard. But you can take vanilla out of things and people don't notice. And I've done that a few times with certain things. I think I did something like a creme brulee or even a custard, and I didn't put the vanilla in, and nobody noticed. So I asked them at the end, so, have you noticed anything different with that? No. I said, well, there's no vanilla in the custard. And they went, oh, really? Well, don't put it in then. You don't need it.
You've been secretly preparing for this episode a very long time, haven't you, Paul?
Paul's cracked it. He's 50, cracked it.
58 years of hate going into this. I could have come up with a load more, but some of them have already been taken, so that's great.
Keeping on the food theme, we also had Bounties, which was Dave Martin's suggestion. Dave Martin, who was one of our guests on the one of our Desert Island Discs episodes, I think, way back when. Bounties. Over here in the UK, we have chocolate bars, which are coconut, just smothered in chocolate. And they go from mini size to these big fun size ones as well. I love Bounties. I know lots of people leave them when they're in that selection box. I can't remember which selection box it is, whether it's Heroes, Celebrations, or whichever one. Whenever Bounties, I'm always in there with a Bounty.
It's funny you should say that, because I love Bounties, and for the same reason that, you know, at Christmas time, sometimes in our office, somebody will bring in a box of things, and I think, oh, great, that means all the Bounties will get left behind. And bugger me if they keep disappearing. So people saying they don't like them, I think it's just a myth, because every time I go for them, there's none left. But, oh, yeah, no, I love Bounties. Absolutely love them.
I don't mind Bounties. I don't mind. There are ones I prefer, but it's a softer... It's a softer chocolate in the box. And my last thing on room 101 was actually toffee in chocolate. Disco.
Oh, yes.
Ooh.
Especially when you're not really paying attention, you know, it's Christmas time. You're like, I'm just going to eat what I want. And you're just putting your hand in the box. And then all of a sudden, you've got a toffee chocolate. And you're like, I can't do this. Like, at least with an eclair, you have the chocolate in the middle, you know. Mm. So there's a little treat if you could get through the hard part.
You know you're starting off with a toffee. You know it's a toffee. Mm-hmm. My favorite chocolates of all time are Revels.
And I was just going to say this, Paul, with your Revels, the last thing you want to put in your mouth from a bag of Revels is the toffee. I'd rather eat the coffee ones.
You think, oh, great, there's a raisin in there. You know, so you go to bite it, thinking it's going to be soft, and your tooth is like, oh, what's going on? Mm. There's the toffee. So you have to suck them to get them warm, to melt the toffee, and then, yeah.
And then your jaw hurts so much, like, I'm just not even going to bother with the rest of the
fillings are coming out. My wife lost a filling the other week by doing that, and then getting a piece of sweet stuck in her tooth, and she pulled it out and filling out as well.
Toffee chocolate can just
that can go.
Oh, yeah.
Can
just go. But yeah, I'd like to keep Bounties. I personally would.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, it's all the time wasted sucking the toffee. Like you're sat there whilst your family are already gorging their way through the Maltesers and all the Snickers. It's like it's the race of Christmas to get through the bottom of the barrel. And you're like,
wait for me.
Finish this one. Come on.
I don't mind soft toffee though, you know, like seaside soft toffee is nice. Yeah. It's just the stuff that's like, you know, impossible cement.
Keeping on the sort of that theme with the chocolates and stuff, we've got a suggestion from Eric Slater, who's from Epic Fails of History, the podcast, and various others on the podcast, Podcasters Assemble Network. But they are Easter basket AstroTurf. I'm guessing this is an American thing, because I'm not thinking it's AstroTurf that you might put in your actual garden. It's apparently the kind of craft AstroTurf grass.
It's like tinsel.
In Canada as well then?
Sort of, but like it's more plasticky. Thing?
Right.
Like this stuff.
He said it like shreds and it just gets everywhere. So it's kind of like on the level of glitter, I guess.
It's strings of glitter, kind of. It's awful.
It sounded like
we just had something similar. I bought a load of stuff to go into party bags, and you know those kind of like party vuvuzelas that you can buy. You can buy in Asda like 10 packs for £1, and they have those you know, kind of like strips of glittery paper that come off them. And the kids just pulled all them off. So I was just going around the house picking up one by one by one by one, just these tiny little threads of like glittery plastic. And I imagine that that's also what it's like. And then you're supposed to like hide eggs in them and stuff. Yes. And then after that, it's kind of just like, woo, one day of the year. And now I just put it in the bin.
Yeah, it feels wasteful, doesn't it?
You put it in a bag and store it for a year.
Or the gnats get hold of the vuvuzelas.
You're trying to clear out your cupboard that's just full of crap, and you're like, oh, well, this is only for Christmas, and this is only for Easter, and oh, this is something for Valentine's Day and Halloween. So you just end up like not emptying out your crap cupboard, which happened to me the other day. Just ended up keeping most seasonal stuff, but a seasonal crap cupboard.
Yeah, that's, yeah, I can 100% get behind it if that's the thing that he's talking about, because he did seem to make it seem like it's a very big problem over there. Speaking of big problems, we've got shopping trolleys that don't go where they're supposed to go. This is a big one for me as well. Like, you could just be pushing it nice and straight, and then for some reason that dodgy little wheel at the front just goes squiff and you go straight into the carrots.
I had one yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they're horrible. Why do they just keep them? Just get rid of them or melt them down and make a new one. Like,
it's horrible.
I don't know,
like, you're like, oh, there's a trolley left, and you go and get it, and you're like, that's why it's the only one left. And my partner hates going shopping, mostly because of people that just stop. You know, they're walking and then they just stop, or they're talking to each other in the aisle and you're trying to get past them, or you're trying to get something, mm-hmm. and it's like you don't exist. It's like they can't see you. This is the thing that stresses him out so much, to the point where I just do like a food delivery every week now, because I don't like to ask him to go shopping, because I don't like to make anything stressful for anyone, especially with two small kids. And then with two small kids, you end up spending a ton more money, because they're just eating things whilst you go around to make. And if you've got a dodgy wheel on your trolley with all of that going on, it's just too much. It's just too much.
Yeah. So that was and I don't know about you, Casey, but our local supermarket, Asda, just down the road here, they brought a loads and loads of brand new trolleys. And we thought, oh, finally, we get to get some decent trolleys. And blow me, within about 2 or 3 weeks, I pick up a nice new one, and the damn thing's wobbling all over the place, and it's one of the wheels is doing that thing where it goes, and it never, you know, straightens up properly. And
I think this was probably the most liked comment. Like, I've got it from other people who had the same suggestion, and then other people liked it as well. The first person to suggest it was Nikki Lowe, but lots of other people share this one. So I think this could be like a universal thing for anyone around the world. If you've got a shopping trolley and it's not working, then no one wants it. So that's probably the biggest problem we had. Along the lines of sort of objects that don't really work properly, we've got our big friend Jarman from the A Play on Nerds podcast, and Muppet Trek, of course, as well, who suggested hand dryers. I don't know if he was being specific about those ones you sort of dip your hands in, or whether it is the one where you sort of turn the head and you can do your hands, but also, you know, do your floofy hair and stuff like that as well, or whether it's just the ones that are timed now, where there's like a little gap, like the Dyson ones where you push your hands in. Because he put that as the picture. I don't know whether it's just specifically those, or whether it's all kinds of hand dryers.
Yeah, because you were saying that they're not as sanitary as you like, because you could accidentally touch the sides of them, and where people have already been touching them and things. Yeah. So
and also in a restaurant I used to work in, we had a list of daily jobs that we were supposed to do, and sometimes you would get put on hand dryer duty, which sounds like a small thing, but actually there's like these water deposits at the bottom of the hand dryer that you had to empty. And if they get full, you're actually just recycling, like, everybody else's drips and stuff is just coming out of the bottle. So I don't know that many establishments are going to be doing this like correctly. And you would pull the thing out to change it, and it's kind of like a coffee filter, or, you know, like the bottom of your toaster where there's a tray and you pull it out to get rid of the crumbs. So it's like a little tray that you pull out, and it's just full of brown stagnant water, and it stinks. It's disgusting. Gross. You never ever wanted to see your name on hand dryer duty. It was horrible. And before we pressed record, I said that I favor paper towels over hand dryers all the time. When I was pregnant and you had to go to the you had to go see the midwife so much and go to the hospital so much and the doctors, those places, they don't use hand dryers because of the sanitary reasons. They only use paper towels. And I used to be like, yes, a big pregnant woman that needs to pee all the time and can just use hand towels, especially the ones you have to push every 5 seconds or rub your hands every 5 seconds because they just go woo, 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 and stop working. If we can use paper towels and get rid of hand dryers, I'm absolutely on board with that.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. Keeping with the electronic and technological problems, we've got electric scooters, which was suggested by Rhea, and revolving doors from Alex. Now, this is a brother and sister team who I work with at work. Electric scooters, 100%. I've been knocked over a couple of times by those things on my walk into work. They are horrible. I hate them. And they don't look out for you. Like, at least cyclists, they'll ring the bell. They'll try and work around you. They'll get a bit more maneuverable. Those electric scooters, vroom, straight into your back and off they go into your shoulder. They are horrible. I do not like those things. Revolving doors. Now, I don't know how or what age rating we're going to put on this episode, but let's just say there are some revolving doors at work and some kids catch themselves in every crevice of those revolving doors, whether it be fingers, whether it be toes, whether it be knees or anything else. The amount of first aid calls we've had, the amount of problems we've had with having revolving doors and children or enthusiastic adults going through the revolving doors as well, who will think they're Superman for some reason. Yeah, revolving doors. That's another one there as well.
They go in, they go in spinning the doors round, take off the clothes, thinking, I'm going to be Superman, then realise they don't actually have a costume. And their clothes and are now look, in the revolving Timmy's doors.
Little Timmy's lost his finger. Oh, there we go. Aren't we all having a lovely time now? Oh, wonderful. Also with the technology thing, we've got Phil, who was from our Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles episode, our collector. He's got two choices. He has got the first two seasons of TNG. He does not like them. And I don't know. And also specifically drivers who fill the car on the wrong side from where their fuel flap is. So if it's on the left, they've pulled onto the right side filling station and so forth.
Ooh, well, I've done... feel like that's a bit unfair because sometimes I drive my partner's car and not the family car, and I just get a little bit kind of, I know there's supposed to be like a little symbol inside the car that tells you what side to fill up, but I can never actually tell if it's telling me that it's on that side or if it's... So I think that's a little bit harsh, but there are a lot of types of drivers that I would just like to, or a lot of type of driving that I would like to just put in room 101. That's not specific to filling up your car from the wrong side of the petrol station.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's loads of them. We could, No, I've done that deliberately a few times where I've pulled in and either there's been everybody's queued up on one side because they want to be on that side where their fuel nozzle is. But when you pull up next to the thing, you leave yourself no room whatsoever to get this nozzle in because you've parked so close to it because you're afraid that you're too far away from it and you might not reach. So I've gone in deliberately and parked the wrong side of the filler cap. And just because they stretch, they allow you to go over the car and you just bang in, away you go. And you can jump queues quite easily by doing that.
I'm the person that gets out the car and I'm like,
yeah, yeah, checking which side is it? Yeah.
Along sort of annoying lines, just a late entry just in the last few seconds. So this is hot off the press. Claire Eridge, who is part of my PCA group, she hates those wooden spoons and forks they now serve in the chippy. So as part of like getting rid of plastic, single-use plastics and things, the wooden spoons, the wooden forks, I'd probably add in also the paper straws. Trying to drink through a paper straw before it starts to melt away into the Coke or whatever it is. So yeah, sort of the replacements haven't quite measured up to the single-use plastics. Of course, we have to get rid of the single-use plastics, but yeah, having the wooden fork in your mouth as you sort of pull it between your lips as they've got the vinegar on it. Yeah, it's horrible. It's like velvet, I guess.
Splinters
yeah.
in your mouth.
It is exactly like velvet. And if it gets like, if it starts to get that coarse little texture on it and you pull it out of your mouth, that's exactly what it is. I imagine that, I can't even like, if you were to put velvet in your mouth, like I imagine that that's what it would feel like. No.
Yeah, not my idea of fun either. Ugh. Speaking of coarse things or coarse cat's tongues, actually Tree, who I work with at work as well, she hates cats. Not just evil cats, not just the ones that don't misbehave. She just hates cats. She's never liked them. Apparently, they're big old flush balls with massive teeth, as far as she's concerned. But, I mean, we were just talking about cats earlier with, like, their tongues and how they feel as well. So I imagine maybe that's part of it as well, the coarseness of cats. But, yeah, Cats the Musical, I'm 100% behind her. But, I mean, we've got a little fluff ball here. She's evil. I hate her. But, you know, she's 15 years old now. I'll let her off. Yeah, cats in general.
Yeah, no, okay. Sorry, I'm a cat person.
I don't have any problem with them.
Yeah.
I'm not a cat person, but we did have a beautiful stray cat who used to lie down on the driveway every time you'd try and walk to the door, and she'd just lay down and turn over, and then you'd walk a few, so you'd step over, and then she'd do it again. And she was beautiful. And my dad, who was like, don't feed the cat, fed the cat. And then eventually started buying actual cat food to put out on the back doorstep for her every day because she was such a small little kitten. And then she got massive. And then she started bringing another little kitten friend around. So then there was two of them. But my dad got sick of, like, in the morning, there'd be like a ton of slugs in the cat food bowl and he'd have to clean it out because we didn't want her in the house. And then one day she just never came back. And we were all really, really sad about that. So even though we were more dog people and didn't want a pet cat, she kind of was, in the end, like our pet cat. She actually came round with a flea collar on once with a little note stuck inside saying, stop feeding my cat. But then she'd come back the next day with no collar on and she'd be starving hungry. And she'd be at our window going, is she just playing the whole street? She ended up a very big cat. So she probably was. She was very, very, very good at getting things out of people. So I don't know. All cats is a bit of a stretch, but these have been some really, really awesome suggestions. And I just want to say, like, a massive thank you and shout out to everybody that contributed, because it's given us some really good things to discuss and definitely some controversial picks in there.
Yeah, there's two last ones. Literally, these are the best. Oh, sorry, Richard. Sorry, unfortunately, you come back to us. Yeah, people who use literally when it's supposed to be metaphorically or figuratively.
Or actually. Yeah.
Or actually. Yeah. Oh,
this is actually the best phone I've ever had. Not literally the best phone I've ever had. You just say actually instead of literally and you're fine. Don't have to go metaphorical and all that rubbish. Just actually.
I'm going to add in, so basically, that's the one I get from loads of kids at work. It's like, so basically, do we have to go over here? No. Yeah, you just go over there.
It's fine. We used to have a guy at work who used to, every sentence started with, do you know what, right? Every sentence, do you know what, right? I'm going to the toilet.
Sean, that's such an, like, London Cockney thing, like a very like so you know what, right?
You're doing all right.
I've got a photograph on my phone somewhere. I'll maybe put it on Facebook at some point. We were up in Wallasey by the train station. There is a bookshop called Literally, and I took a picture of it and said, that is literally a bookshop.
Because it is.
That's it is. It is literally a bookshop, and it is that literally a bookshop.
It's the proper use
That's
of
good.
The word.
That's good.
Fair enough. Yeah.
When my and partner last... and I drive around, we like to, through smaller villages and towns, we like to find the best punny local shop name, because you only find them in small British villages. Yeah. So his favourite one that we ever saw was a hairdresser's that was called Curl Up and Die.
Yeah.
And my favorite one that I saw was a dry cleaner's that was called Pressed for Time.
Nice.
When you come and visit, Sean, what you need to do is drive through some, especially first of all, drive down some British country roads, because that's crazy.
Yeah.
And then when you get to a small little town or village, you need to find the best punny shop names, because you don't find them anywhere else.
No, there's nothing like that here. So.
It's cute. It's lovely.
My favorite one was it was an Indian restaurant. It was Naan, It's Your Business. So that was such a nice one. I like that.
My friend changed her. You remember when you used to have a name for like your infrared or Bluetooth and on those really old phones, and you could see like whose infrared or Bluetooth was activated? My friend changed hers to pissing up the wall. So every time anybody would go on, they'd be like, who's pissing up the wall? It's like, not me. Like every time, like she did that for about 5 years. Not me. It's not that funny now, but it was really, really funny at the time.
The funny thing is, when we go around to my father-in-law's, we do the same thing, you know, we're trying to connect his Wi-Fi and a list of them all come up and one of them's called Big Boobs and we're trying to work out which of his neighbours it is because it isn't him. Right, so the name of the takeaway is called Takeaway Near Me.
Oh, very good.
Very good. Yes. Very, very, very good. Yeah.
The first one.
Yeah.
10 out of 10. 10 out of 10.
The last one is a specific thing, and this is from Leanne Clark. She is one of our master rope makers at work. She has a little one. We all have little ones. Everyone at work who's got kids. Cocoa Melon. Now, this is a very specific reference to a type of YouTube kids show thing. And it's all about, they do a little song, so it's kind of musical as well. And it will be about learning to poop on the toilet, or let's do our ABCs, or let's not poke a finger into that kid's eye and start a fight. They'll do little kind of kiddie programs things. I think generally this should expand out to those kinds of kids programs that are just so annoying. They are full of like this weird Uncanny Valley CGI characters, and then there's an annoying sort of voice or song to go with it, and it's just teaching kids to do stuff that is just weird. Like, all right, just tell them not to start a fight. You don't need to sing in this really annoying song, because then it's in your head and then you're humming it for another 6 or 7 years, and it's like, I'm going to pee now, I'm gonna run the toilet, I'm gonna pee now. Oh God, please just stop, please.
It happens the most when you're trying to sleep and you can't get to sleep, and in your head you're like, food, I want to eat my food. No, I'm not eating my food, or however the Cocoa Melon songs go. I mean, that was almost there. Yeah, no, I don't know. Some of them have like saved me through lockdown. If there's any lockdown parents listening, I was one of those parents who was like, no screen time, no tablets for my kids until they're a certain age. And then lockdown happened, which none of us could have anticipated. My son was 4 months old when the first lockdown came, so by the time we came out of it he was like over a year old, and I was so sick with my second pregnancy when he was so small, it just became kind of like a default babysitter kind of, like, you know, I was lying on the sofa dying supervising my child, but I couldn't interact with him as much as I wanted to. We had no help from anybody else in the outside world. It was just me and this tiny little baby. So it did become like a savior at some points, but also, oh my goodness, some of it is, D Billions is the worst. If anybody's listening that has stumbled across D Billions, like Cocoa Melon is one thing, but D Billions is absolutely something else. Like, yeah, there's a lot out there. I had a last minute submission from somebody who said that they want to ban ticks. Ticks is a great suggestion. I also don't see the purpose. They cause like Lyme's disease. You don't want to go home from being out somewhere and having to check all the crevices of your body, and then being paranoid when you find something. You're like, oh my God, can you just check here for me, my most intimate places, because I think I've got a tick there. Ooh. And then if you do have a tick, or your pet has a tick, and then you're trying to get the tick out, its entire body, so stressful. Nobody needs ticks. Let's just put them in room 101.
It'll keep the gnats company.
Yeah.
And the mosquitoes.
It'll keep the gnats. Yeah, exactly. And my partner came in here before, and as he walked out, he definitely hit his knee on the corner of the bed, and I had to mute myself and say, are you serious? And he said, what? I said, I've literally just finished talking about you hitting yourself on the bed frame every time you walk out the door. And he's like, well, I didn't do it on purpose.
Oh, when I see him tomorrow, I'm going to say, how's your knee?
Are you all right?
He was really confused, but I thought he could hear me talking and he was being funny, because that's the sort of thing that he does. But he was just like, what?
Definitely going in tomorrow. Are you all right, Lee? You all right? Going to rub your leg? You okay? Oh, man.
His suggestion for room 101 was seafood, but also anybody that's like, try this olive, you'll like this olive, or try this seafood, you'll like this seafood. And I was like, we can't put people in there. And he was like, well, I want to put everyone in there that's like, just try this. Yeah. And he's like, I've tried olives and I hate olives. Stop trying to force me to eat olives.
Yeah. My wife would disappear though. Because yeah, you like this mash. No, it's not dry. Oh, you're the sort of person that says, oh, God, that tastes horrible. Here, try that.
Yeah.
No, you have literally just said that you don't like it. It's horrible and it tastes sour. It's bitter. It's, you know, too sweet, whatever. And you want me to try it? As if I'm going to go, hey, I really like this. Yeah.
There's some great suggestions. The unanimous vote probably goes to the wonky shopping trolley.
Yes, absolutely. Definitely. And especially those vicious ones, which you try them first. You go backwards and forwards, you try, you spin it around, great. And then as soon as you put the first bag of potatoes in, it shifts the weight to one side, and then that's it, you're going left all the time. Sorry, mate, I'm trying to get around you, but I can't now because this thing just keeps going left, banging into the potatoes, the tomatoes, the celery, the lettuce. I can't get it away from the thing. It won't go right.
The ones where you have to build up momentum to keep it going, and then you get the people that stop in the middle and they're just chatting and you're like, I need to keep going.
Yeah, those slow walkers in the middle of the aisle. Yeah, get out of the way. Do you not realise that this is like a tanker and it takes me 3 miles to turn? You know, and you're walking towards me as though I'm the one that's supposed to move out of the way. Shoppers. That's another one we need to get rid of.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think that's a great list we've got there. I'll pop this out into the show notes so everybody can have a read of it as well. And we'll stick it on the Cosmic Pizza podcast Facebook page, and hopefully Dan and you stick it on the other bits. Yeah.
Thank you everybody so much for the suggestions. There was some great stuff in there.
Yeah, brilliant. Thanks. And we will still take, if you've listened to this for the first time and realized that, you know, you've got some things that you hadn't had a chance to send them in, still keep them coming, send them in, and we'll read them out on the next show.
Yeah. And if you disagree with us as well, if we've made a point and you think that we're wrong, let us know, because that's the type of interaction that I live for. I love those types of dialogue. So get in touch with us and let us know if there's some things you disagree with.
You're an internet dream, aren't you? I mean, you didn't even have to say that. People are going to come back at us anyway. How dare you throw cats into the thing?
And then we'll come back at them in song. Yeah. It'll be great. We'll have backing Nat singers with vuvuzelas. And exactly. They'll be...
As a person who lives in Sherwood Forest and wears velvet all the time and loves mosquitoes as they're my friends and jump over the edges of beds, I agree with disagree with everything Casey said. And to prove my point, here's a musical about it. All about mashed potato.
If the person's wearing velvet and they want to confront me about it, I'm happy to just like never see them in person.
Yeah. Set them on fire.
Yeah. Velvet we'll schedule top a Zoom with, call. Flex denim pants.
Yeah. Ooh. Ooh, flex denim. Flex Ew. Faux velvet Ooh. Denim. Ooh.
Eating soggy chips with a wooden fork.
Oh, now we're breaching it to like, what did your eternal hell look like, feel like?
Just jump into room 101 by the sounds of it. That's it. They're all in there.
Yeah. Well, there was a sort of, they did an episode, I think like a season or two of it, where they not only had room 101, they had room 102, where you saved things that you absolutely loved and adored. But as you can imagine, that didn't last very long because it wasn't that controversial. So,
but there's an idea for a future episode.
That's right. Absolutely.
Stay tuned.
Yeah. Okay, so our special is gone and the grease in the box is cold, and we hope you are full to the brim. So join us for more slices of life in the next special delivery of the Cosmic Pizza Podcast. Been your deliverers today. please leave a tip at the door by subscribing for future deliveries, rate and review our service, and we hope you come back for more helpings next time. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, and TikTok by searching for the Cosmic Pizza Podcast. If you'd like to send us an MP3 file, you can email us on cosmicpizzapodcast@gmail.com, and we'll catch you on the next episode of the Cosmic Pizza Podcast.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.